What is up, weirdos? You're listening to The Manic Pixie Weirdo. I'm Abigail, your host, and this is the podcast where we talk about all the different kinds of relationships that we have in our lives. Okay, so a couple of things right off the top. When we changed, I changed hosting sites. I know, I'm sorry, everybody. It's the last time for a long time, I hope. Hopefully for forever, but you know, we'll just have to see. I'm trying a new hosting site called Spreaker. They're helping to monetize the podcast a little bit. I don't know. That's the whole point of like why we changed hosting sites. Because they offered me a really good deal for like to use their hosting site and then offered to help like get it monetized. So I don't know. We're going to see. If you guys don't like it, then we can always, you know, I can always change and go back. I do think that that means that there's going to be more like ads and stuff, but don't worry. Like, you know, capitalism is great. Woohoo. But yeah, so anyway. So I just kind of wanted to like shout that out for you guys and let you guys know. I'll put it in the What's Up Weirdo Wednesday shout outs just to kind of explain what's going on. I know it's confusing. I'm really sorry, guys. Hopefully, like I said, it's the last time for a really long time. For forever, hopefully. The life of this podcast, if you guys still want me to do it for, I'll do it as long as you guys want me to. Anyway, okay. So this week we're talking about my relationship with Snowpiercer. The movie, the television show, and apparently the comics. So first I have to give a really big shout out to Delvin Cox from the Delvin Cox Experience and all of his other shows. He has lots of many shows about all different kinds of things. I was on his show, the Delvin Cox Experience. He's a really wonderful person. He's got a great podcast. Go check him out. But he was the one that brought it to my attention that Snowpiercer was actually a comic before, like in the 80s, before, I didn't know that until I got to talk to Everybody Loves Pudding, Ken from Everybody Loves Pudding. He's going to be on the podcast next week. Don't worry. You'll get to hear all of that stuff. I was super nervous. I messed up a bunch of stuff. I just got really nervous because Ken is incredibly knowledgeable about like comic books. And I felt slightly like intimidated. It's not that intelligence intimidates me. I got really anxious and nervous about talking to him because I wanted him to have a good time and I wanted him to have fun and I wanted it to be a good conversation that all of you guys would enjoy and like to listen to. But I am a poser when it comes to comic books. I have never read a comic book before in my life. So I'm a poser as far as like comic books are concerned. I've never read one. I've never looked at one. Well, I mean, this is not true. I've looked at them, but I've just never like, you know, read them. That was more my sister's thing. She was really into like when we were younger, she was really into like anime and stuff like and manga and stuff like that. I've always been much more of like a book nerd. So like physical books that you like read with words. I said that in my interview with Ken and I felt like it came off really condescending and, arrogant. And I very much am sorry if that's how, you know, it took. I listened to it back and I was like, oh wow, that came off really arrogant and like rude. I did not mean it that way. I just meant that like, that's sort of more like what I gravitate towards is books. Cause I like to, I just love to read. And so I'm more of like a bookworm. Yes, a bookworm nerd. A bookworm nerd. I've never done like comics or anything like that, but it's okay. He did give me a lot of like really good information about like the Snowpiercer comic, and I'm so excited. I'm really interested. I'm going to get like copies of it of like the originals, and I want to read it. Because it just sounds super interesting. But I just felt really intimidated, because he is so knowledgeable and I got really, really nervous. So, I hope that's okay with everybody. I'm sorry if it's not like the best interview, but I just wanted to do a good job. I always get really anxious and nervous. That's what it is. It's not that like I was intimidated because I felt inferior. It was more that I was intimidated because I really wanted to do a good job, and I like put all this pressure on myself to make sure to try and like make it a good interview. And, you know, due to that, I get really anxious. But yeah, so that's coming up next week. So, oh, everybody get excited about that. He's going to have to come back on. I told him he's going to have to come back on after I finish reading, after I read, get a hold of, and then read the comic Snowpiercer. So that'll be really fun. So that's sort of like what I have about like the comics, just because I haven't read it yet. So, you know, yeah, I just don't really have a lot to say about the comic because I haven't read it yet. I just haven't. But don't worry, we're going to get him back on once I read it, and we'll talk a little bit more in depth about it and all of those things. So that'll be really good. It'll be more of a like a follow-up episode or something. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet, but it'll be really good. Hopefully it'll be really good. Hopefully you like it. I don't know. It's something that I want to do. I'm really excited to do. So he was really good at like getting me really excited about it. And I came out feeling very like happy and very like hopeful. It was very pleasant and lovely. And just thank you, Ken. That was really lovely. Thank you so much for coming on. So I really more have a relationship with the film, and currently the television show. I did not know what it was. So it came up on my Netflix probably like 2 years ago. Like 2019, I feel like it came up on my Netflix. I was just like, it was one of those days where it was like, I didn't know what I wanted to watch. And I was just kind of like scrolling through, and it kept coming up. Like it had been coming up for a while, under like, you know, things you might also like or whatever, you know, like similar items, similar, you know, things, you know, that kind of a thing. And so I finally was just like, fine, I'll watch it. Fine. Like it keeps popping up. I guess I need to watch this. Like just, it was mainly like, I think I'm just going to watch this just to like get it out of the queue. Kind of a thing, like just get rid of it, like fine, I'll watch it and then go away. Ended up was not at all what I thought it was gonna be. It has the movie, so this was the movie, the film. And I started watching it, and it really blew me away. Just the whole concept, everything about it. I got like 10, 15 minutes in, and I asked my husband about it. I was like, hey, baby, have you seen this? Like, have you watched this? And he was like, that's about the train in the snow, right? I was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, I've seen it. It's really good. You should watch it. And I was like, okay, cool. That might be strange for some people, but my husband doesn't like to rewatch stuff if he's already seen it. The only time he likes to rewatch stuff is if I haven't seen it. And then he'll watch it with, like, if he's seen the movie and I haven't seen it, then he likes to watch it because he likes to, I don't know, he likes to like, see my reactions or something like that and like see how I do. I don't know, like what my thoughts and feelings on it are, but yeah, so he was like, you know, you should watch it. But he had already seen it, and I was like in the middle of it, and he had to do something else, so we couldn't watch it together. I was gonna wait, and I asked him, I was like, should I wait? And he was like, no, just fine, it's fine. Just like watch it, it's fine, because we didn't know when the next time was, like when it was gonna be, and I probably would have forgotten about it. So he was just like, no, just watch it, and then we can like talk about it later. So I watched it. And it has Chris Evans, Jamie Bell, whom I love, by the way. Oh, just a gorgeous. I saw him. He was in that. My introduction to Jamie Bell was in Turn, the TV show Turn, and I just like fell in love with him. And I was like, oh my god, I love Jamie Bell. His wife, beautiful, absolutely gorgeous girl. Congratulations to you. Like, good job for you. I hope y'all are doing well together. Oh, I'm so happy for you. That's so awesome. But anyway, so I watched the film and was really blown away by it because it was a very interesting concept. It was something new, something that I hadn't seen before in the context of like I had, like, at the point that I watched the film, it was very much like I was kind of over like zombie apocalypse stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just very much over it. I was like, ugh, like, just please don't like it, like, make it another one of like those, you know? Just please don't. Like, that's it, just because it just feels very repetitive. Like, once I've seen a concept a couple of times, I feel like I get really tired of it after probably like after I've seen maybe like four or five movies or four or five like television shows sort of centered around the same concept, like a zombie apocalypse or something. I just get really disinterested in it and I just go, okay, well, it's just another like zombie apocalypse film. Like, what could they possibly have done different that these other like five films haven't done? Which is probably pretty arrogant on my part, but, you know, that's just kind of how I do. I just get bored with it pretty quickly, like with a concept. And so that was one of the reasons why I really enjoyed the film, was because it was I felt like it was something new. It was something that I personally hadn't seen before. Now, that's not to say that, like, this concept hadn't been done before. I'm sure it has. I just either have not seen it, I have not read it, you know, those kinds of things. It just hasn't like come into my world yet. Like those, like this sort of concept hasn't just come into my world yet. So this was really like my first introduction to this idea. And so for those of you that haven't seen the film or the television show or read the comic like me, I'll give you a brief overview of the film. So basically it was, you know, okay, so basically it is set close, like it's in the future, but it's like relatively close in the future. So it's not like 400 years or something into the future. I always got the feeling that it was very like, no, this, we're like 50 years away from this, like pretty close. And basically what happened is this guy Wilford built a train because like he saw the effects of global warming and climate change. And like the fact that all of these horrible, horrible things were going to die and humanity as a species needed a way to survive, during this next sort of like ice agey phase on Earth. And so he built this train that travels around the world and like one rotation around the world, is a year. So it takes 1 year to travel around the world, kind of a thing. And I believe like they start in, you know, they started in like Chicago or some like specific place. And once they get back, you know, that's how they measure it. Do not ask me how they built the train, how they got the train tracks to connect all over the world. I don't know. I don't know the answers to those questions. Also because they're not explained. It's just kind of like, this is the world that we're living in, but don't ask like too many questions, which I sort of have a little bit of an issue with, but you know, I tried to suspend my disbelief, you know, long enough to know. And, you know, I was clearly able to suspend my disbelief long enough to be able to be like, enjoy the film, which is nice and very lovely. But of course, you know, as it naturally occurs, it, you know, as, so, okay, so the passengers on the train are broken up into a class system. So, like, those at the front of the train were the people that funded, basically had all the money and the resources to fund the building of this train. And they're, like, the 1%, the ultra wealthy, you know, those people that we love to talk about on this podcast, the ultra wealthy. Yay, of course. And then there's like the middle of the train, which is like you know, all the workers and stuff. So like the people that, you know, like make the food and like clean up the, you know, like the living quarters and stuff like that, you know, And then at the end, at the very back of the train, they're called the tailies, and they are the people that, you know, basically like could not afford to buy a ticket, because I would assume it's akin to, you know, some ludicrous, you know, like hundreds of millions of dollars for one ticket kind of a thing. But so these are people who like basically they're considered stowaways. So this is like the lower class. This is the poor people. These are the people that have no money, that they are refugees essentially on this train because they just wanted to survive. Like they were just like, no, let us the fuck on this train. Like we matter too. And so they, of course, got pushed to the back of the train. There is a whole, like, you know, judicial system sort of set up. Essentially, Wilford is considered, like, God. Like, he is the God. They, you know, they talk about... they very much make him into this, like, divine entity. Akin to a god, like the savior of humanity kind of a thing, which, gross, but, you know, for the purposes of the film, it makes sense. Can we stop doing that? Guys, can we stop trying to make human beings divine and holding them up and into this, like, divine light? Like, no, we're just people. We're all just people, okay? We all fuck up. We all make mistakes. It's terrible. But can we just stop with that whole thing? Jesus. Classic example. But anyway, so they make him like into this divine caricature almost. And it's just, and so, but then the whole story just like follows, you know, like the tailies, Chris Evans and Jamie Bell's character. They are, they're tailies, and they're basically, you know, trying to have like a revolt, like a revolution. They're revolting because they're like, this is some bullshit, you know, like we deserve like, you know, good food and all this other stuff too. And you kind of like work your way up through the train, and there's this revolt, and they like do the whole thing. And at the end of it, you're just kind of like, well, that's interesting. And at the end, it has a lot of very like Judeo-Christian overtone, like thematic overtones to it. Because like at the very end, you get very much a, like an Adam and Eve feel. To it, but that's, so that's like the film, that's like the movie. The television show I am currently watching, and I am like in love with it. Now all of these opinions could change once I read the comics. I feel like they're going to, because that's generally what happens, is if I did it in reverse order. So usually I do it in chronological order, which for me means like I read the like the source material first, and then I go and like watch the television show or the movie or whatever. But in this particular instance, I did it backwards, and I watched the TV show and the film first, only to find out that I was very sadly mistaken, and that there actually is source material. That was another reason why I really enjoyed it, because I guess in my brain, it was because it was such a new concept for me, like in my own little world, I didn't realize that like this idea had come from somebody else, and that this was not, like this didn't just, somebody didn't just like wake up in the middle of the day or like in the middle of the morning one day and was like, you know what would be fucking awesome if I did this shit. But you know, that's neither here nor there. So you know, just warning, my opinions could completely change once I read the original source material. I actually kind of expect it to slightly, but that's, you know, it's fine, it's whatever. That's just how this specific thing happened, which is fine. Now, the television show, Ken and I talk more about like the comics and like the differences, and I get really excited and just like all the stuff, but because he's very knowledgeable, like I said, about like the comics and stuff like that. But one of the things that I thought he would like, if any sort of like visual medium, he would enjoy the television show more because it does go more in depth. And it does seem to me like the television show, if anything, is closer to the source material than the movie, which is fine because, you know, like in a film, you only have X number of minutes to tell your story. So you kind of really have to like focus, you have to pick a story to tell. Otherwise, it gets really mumbled and you lose the plot. Whereas like in a television show, I feel like you have more room to kind of explore all the different stories and all the different avenues and sort of like fill in those plot holes. You know what I'm saying? It has Jennifer Connelly, whom, let me just say, lovely. Love her. I love her as an actress. I think she's really amazing. I just really, really like her. So the television show, oh goodness, hold on. It has Jennifer Connelly in it, obviously. It has David Diggs, who, you guys, new crush, absolutely. Ida Goldberg, Mickey Sumner, she's absolutely beautiful. At first I thought she was Nikki Glaser, the comedian, but no, she's not. She's Mickey Sumner. Sumner, S-U-M-N-E-R, I believe. Super good. Allison Wright, Lena Hall, you know, Miranda Edwards, Mike O'Malley, so good. Karen Canaval, just, it's got a really good cast. Sean Bean, good guys. He is a favorite. I love Sean Bean. I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him. He's so great. I love him so much. Kwasi Thomas, I think that's how you say that. I'm not entirely sure. Don't hate me. Susan Park, Ian Collins, Manjo Sood, I believe. It's just got a really, really, really great cast. I really love what they did. Some of these actors I've never heard of, but I really, and I enjoy films that do that where they only have like a couple of people that are like really well known. Or at least a couple of people that, like, I personally know for sure, like Jennifer Connelly and Sean Bean. And then everybody else, like, it feels really, I really like it when, you know, they have a couple of actors that I know really well. And then everybody else is just sort of, like, new to me. I really like that. Because it doesn't feel like there's, I don't know, a lot of times when you get a show or a movie where there's, like a bunch of really, really, really like well-known A-list people. I feel like there's a lot of overacting that's being done because I feel like a lot of people are just trying to like out-act each other. Whereas like with this, it's just, it feels like it flows better. I just really like what they do when that occurs in like a casting session specifically. But the television show, okay, so the television show is so good. There are two seasons out currently. Okay, so you can, I believe, because I watched the first season on Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch the first season and the first episode of the first season. Now, if you watch the first episode, so you can watch the entire first season, which is what I did and binged it, just completely binged it. It was, for like 2 days, I just like binged it. It was so good. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I really enjoyed it because like they went more in depth with all of the things and all and the characters, and I get like really like at the end of the first season, I was like crying. Like I cried at various and sundry, and that's not saying a lot because I'm a very empathetic and like I'm just an empath, and so I, you know, I cry during films. I do. It's a thing that I do. And I get really attached and really, really attached to characters and stuff in this specific format, and like a television show specific format. I do like that. I do feel like the television show is better than the film simply because, I have longer to get attached and to really like understand and know these characters, which I love. And the intricacies and like all of the different plot points and all the different struggles and just all the things, But, so that's one of the reasons why I think I prefer the television show. Now, if you want, if you do have Amazon Prime, you can watch the first season on Amazon Prime. It's there, I believe. I don't know how long it's going to be there though. So like, just keep that in mind now. But you can also then watch the first episode of the second season of Snowpiercer on Amazon Prime as well, which is great because it gives you a taste. Now, if you watch it, because all the rest of the episodes you have to pay for. Now, if you're like me and you want to cheat and you don't want to do that, my husband and I have a VPN. I recommend everybody getting a VPN. It's really cheap. We have Nord. I don't know. This is not an advert. I just recommend it because it's like useful for so many things. And the reason I'm bringing that up, is because I'm cheating. I'm 100% cheating. And if you switch your VPN to Canada, Netflix has all of season one and all of season two up on Netflix. So if you want to cheat, that's how you do it. And it's so lovely. It's so great. It's very easy. You just switch your VPN to Canada and you should be able to watch it. That's how I'm currently watching season two because I don't want to pay for that shit. No, not if I can get it for free. Fuck that. Okay. So now I think I'm just going to kind of talk about, the television show very much. I mean, it's the same basic, like they have that same basic thread as the film. So there is still that class system. You get, there's it's the same basic plot. It's the same basic idea. So you're not like, they didn't like reinvent the wheel here. Okay. So it's just like the same thing. Now, a couple of the things that one of the reasons why I'm very excited about it, and the reason that is because I think it poses interesting questions, and I had a lot of questions about the film after I was finished watching the film. I've seen the film like 4 or 5 times. Obviously, I'm still in the middle of watching season two, but anyway, so. One of the questions that I had during watching both the film and the television show was I could not for the life of me figure out why there wasn't, because there's only one train, right? Like they've only got one train. And throughout watching the first season of the thing and the film, I was very much like, why do we only have one train? I feel like we need more trains. Now, where would you get more trains? Well, because the rich built the first one, essentially. That's the whole point of that, is that like the rich used their money to fund the building of this train, which is very, obviously that's why they got tickets, because they could afford tickets because they helped fund a building. Anyway, you get the idea. But why can't we build our own goddamn train? Because I looked at this and all I saw was, oh, fuck, this shit is coming for us. I could totally see this happening in the real world. Like, I don't know how far away from it we actually are, but I know for a fact that, like, I can't afford to get on that train. There's no way. Because I don't just have tons and tons of money just laying around to be like, yeah, for sure, this weird old man who is basically God, who has deemed himself God, wants to build a train that goes around the world to save us. Okay, cool. I'm going to fund your hobby project. And maybe if something comes through, like maybe if something actually does happen, then like, you know, fine, I'll buy a ticket and like I'll be saved. I don't have that kind of money, nor do I mean, just anyway. But my whole thing was like, why do we only have one train? And then I started thinking, you know, so the rich built the train. All the things, everything I just said. Okay, that's fine. But they didn't actually build the train. They just paid the money for the train to be built. We were the ones that built the train. We were the ones that built the whole thing. Like, they needed somebody to lay all that track. They needed some people to, they needed construction work. They needed people to build that track. They needed people to build the physical train. They needed engineers. They needed people, you know, to do all of these things that, you know what I'm saying? And which, okay, I have to put this out there. One of the reasons why I really wanted to talk about this specific like collection of entertainment is because it sparked a question that has been eating at me for a very long time. And because I could 100% see something like this occurring, like in the real world, maybe not like a train, you know, maybe not that, you know, specifically that kind of a thing. You know, it very much, I could just see it happening. I could 100% see. And like, if this is what we're saying is going to happen, which, like I said, I could 100% see this happening in the real world. And I think it would be very quickly. I mean, we're talking like, I'm thinking like in the next 50 years kind of a thing. So like in my lifetime, or maybe not, hopefully not. I don't want to live that long. But I just feel like, because, okay, so one of the reasons why I was like, why is there a second train? Is because I felt like, I was like, well, a lot of these problems would be solved if we just had a second train. Like, if we just had another train, then a lot of these, like, class issues would be solved. Because what if we built another train and it wasn't based on how much money you have? It was based on, you know, just like, no, this is an arc for people, for humanity to get, like, to have a survival system. If you want to live in the Snowpiercer train and, you know, have Wilford become your god, and eventually have, like, an Adam and Eve situation, like, if that's your deal, if that's what you want to do, if that's what you like, if you like this idea of, like, this class system and this whole, like, you know, Darwinian like struggle for human life, to fight for your life, then by all means go on the Snowpiercer train. I want to make another train where, you know, we don't value money. We don't care how much money you have. I don't give a shit. Because to me, when I'm thinking about these things, I'm like, okay, who do we need on this train? Like, who are the people that need to be on this train? Doctors, nurses, construction workers, waste management people, teachers, children, technicians, engineers, you know, entertainers, obviously, because it's going to be some bleak shit going on, and we need, you know, we're going to need some escapism happening, okay? I'm not opposed to that, absolutely. We need you people too. You provide a very important service called escapism in many forms, and it is needed because it helps distract us and makes our lives a little bit more bearable. So yes, I think that you are, you know, essential, and we do need you. Yeah, but construction workers, we need people who, you know, we need the people who help build the train. We need the people, we need gardeners. We would need gardeners. We would need, you know, scientists, you know, just botanists, everybody, you know, we would need all of those people. Some of them are rich. That's fine. Go to the rich train. We don't want you on our train. Just come over here. I don't even know what we're going to call it, the weirdo train right now, because this is the manic pixie weirdo and we're all fucking weird. So it's fine. So if you want to be on the weirdo train, we don't use money. That's not what we would use. That's not how I would envision that. Like, I wouldn't want to have money be, I wouldn't value money. Like, that wouldn't be, like in the world we live in today, your status is based on materials, like your material wealth. So the more stuff you have, the wealthier you are considered, as well as like your level of importance, how much power you have. Basically, you know, you are valued in the society that we live in, and the planet that we live in, really, based upon your material wealth, whether that's how much money you have in the bank, how many zeros you have behind your, you know, in how many zeros you have in the bank, how many letters you have behind your name, how much land do you have? How many companies do you own? How many patents do you have? How many jets do you have? How many boats do you need? Like, those are the kinds of things that we determine, that we have decided. Those are the measurements we use in the world that we live in to determine your value as an individual. Or even as like a collective group. So like a company, like a major company, that would be how they, are determined to be, you know, and based upon that material wealth, it's a sliding scale of, you know, not only do we decide that you are valued more, that you have more value than other people, which goes to like your level of importance and that kind of thing. But your power, how much power you have is derived based on your material wealth, based on the things that you can, like, how much stuff do you have? How many zeros are in your bank? How many, you know, that kind of thing. I wouldn't want that to be the measure of our train, of our weirdo train. I would want it to be, because those are things that I don't value. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. Who gives a shit? That doesn't make you better than me. I don't think it makes you better than me. I don't think it makes you smarter than me. I don't think it makes you any more powerful or, you know, I just don't value those things. I just simply do not value. That's not what I base my values. First of all, I don't base another individual's worth, i.e. their value, on the materials, the material wealth that you have. I don't care, okay? It doesn't matter to me. That's not important to me. Those things are just not important to me. If they're important to, they might be important to some people. Well, there's no might there. It is important to some people we live in. You know, the proof in that is the world we live in. But I personally, that's not how I value myself or other people. I value myself and other people based on, like, your actions. What do? Are you nice to people? Are you a dick? Like, are you really, really rude? Are you, like, what? I don't know. Are you just a horrible person? Like, have you murdered a bunch of people? I don't know. Like, have you how many people have you murdered? How many people have you sexually assaulted? How many people have you, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you treat animals? Are you, like, cool with animals, or are you, like, real, like, a real dick to animals? You know, like, those are sort of, like, those are the things that I really value. I base an individual's value on. I just don't like that metric, because it just doesn't mean anything to me. It's entirely meaningless. Material wealth is meaning. I don't care. I don't care who you are. Joe Biden could walk in right now and be like, I'm the president of the United States. You have to listen to me. And I'd be like, no, I don't. I really don't. Like, goodbye. do you have anything good to say? But also, not only do you have anything good to say, but like, what exactly is it you're planning on? Like, I need the plan. What are you doing to like make these things that you say happen? Because to me, like, actions speak louder than words kind of a thing. I know I'm weird. It's fine. But like, I wouldn't want that to be the metric on the train. I want like the material wealth. That's not the metric that I would want to use. Like, basically, if you contributed to building this train in any capacity, whether that's like screwing in light bulbs or building the track or like making the bed or, you know, like whatever it is, I don't really care. Like, then you have value, which means that like we need you. So you should be on this train. I just want to build our own train, guys. I think that's the lesson that we need to take away from this, is we just need to start building our own train. We really do. That just needs, and this whole thing, this whole idea that I have, and like this thing, it's just been really eating away at me, is that I, and it is a burning question that I have, and it's a question that I have not, it's a question I have a theory around. I have an idea of what the answer is, like, so I kind of already know what the answer is, but I'm not entirely sure if my answer to this question is correct. And the question is, why do we need the rich? It's just a very simple question. Why do we need the rich? I don't know. I have no idea why we need the rich. I have a hunch that we don't. I feel like we don't. Mainly because I don't know what it is they do, other than like collect money and make everything horrible for everybody else but them. And yes, I understand, you know, like they provide jobs. Do they though? Do they? And are they good jobs or are they like shitty jobs? And like, how do they treat their employees? It's like, do they pay them enough to like live and like have nice things too? Because everybody likes to have nice things. Okay. I'm not saying everything that you own has to be nice. I'm just saying everybody likes to have like a couple nice things, you know? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes sense, but that's just sort of like where I, like this whole, that was the question when I watched the movie Snowpiercer the first time, where I was like, you know what, why do we need them? I don't really know. I don't think we do. Because I just don't think we do. I feel like we don't. I feel like we don't need them. And that's not to say, like, let's go kill them and murder them and do any of those things. But also, it's more of just to say, like, I just feel like we don't need you. So like, why are we putting up with your bullshit? Kind of a thing. It would just, I just feel like it would solve a lot of problems if all of a sudden we were all just like, no, I don't like the way you're doing it. This is not good. Nobody's happy. The only people that are happy in this situation are the people who have all the money, the resources, and to a certain extent, the power. But the only reason that they have those things is because we all collectively decided that they should have them based upon their own material wealth, not based on like who they are as people or if they are like, you know, if they're responsible. Are they intelligent enough to be able to understand like how to do this? 'Cause it's very like in it for themselves, and I just don't, so anyway, I don't know, I feel like I'm rambling, but it doesn't matter, because I digress, that's what we do on the show. I just, can we just build our own train? Like, what's the problem with that? Why can't we just do that? That feels like a better plan, especially if we were all like, no, you're a dick, don't, no, go to the Snowpiercer train, they want you more over there, you belong, that's your tribe of people, go, oh no. Ooh, did I say something bad? Oh no, am I gonna get canceled because I said that? Uh-oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I just, it's one of those things where like, that's just sort of how I, that's how I group humans, is in what I would call like a tribe. I feel like that's really offensive though. Ooh, I need to come up with a better word. I'm really sorry. I feel like that's really offensive and I probably shouldn't say that as like my group of people. We're just going to be a herd, okay? This is our herd of people. do you belong to the Snowpiercer herd of people that's like, yes, rich people, capitalism, let's continue the class system and all this shit. Yes. If you're a part of those people, that's fine. I'm not saying you can't have a train. Go, just go to the Snowpiercer train, okay? Those are your, that's your herd of people. I get it. We're not for everybody. That's fine. No hard feelings. I don't care. The weirdo train, though, as a herd of people where we just decide that, you know, no. That's where we, that, where we were just like, no. No, that way doesn't work for us. No. It's fine if it works for you, but it just doesn't work for us. So, no. We're going to build our own train. So that's kind of like where, but I want to know. So I am going to, starting with this episode, or with this, like this series of episodes, these two episodes, and then, at, you know, at some point, the follow-up episode where I actually read the comic book to see, because all of my thoughts, all of this is contingent on the fact that I have not read the comics at all. And so this is very much, you know, all of this could potentially change after I read the comic book. So just, you know, keep that in mind. This is, you know, this is all posed to change at any time. I could read the comics and come back and be like, you know, I was completely wrong. Totally wrong. Absolutely. Just nope. Throw everything that I said in this episode out. It doesn't matter. Ignore it. Because I was an idiot and I was wrong. I'm prepared for that to happen. I feel like it's not going to, but, you know, miracles never cease, okay? So bear with me. But, so I am going on a quest, okay? Basically, until I find my answer. And the question that I'm going to ask is, why do we need the rich? Why? Tell me why. And I need a damn good answer. Like, you better have something really, really good. You know, I'm one of those people where, like, until I get an answer that I'm satisfied with, and that makes sense to me and that I understand, I'm not convinced. Okay. So you can't just start throwing shit at me like, we need the rich for jobs and because the economy and, you know, stuff. Like, that's not gonna work, okay? It's a bad answer for me. I don't accept that answer. It's not that I don't accept that answer. It's just, like, I'll accept your answer. I just don't like your answer, and I feel like your answer is bullshit. So, it's not a good answer enough for me to stop asking the question why we need the rich. So, I'm just gonna keep going until I find a satisfactory answer, and if I don't find a satisfactory answer, then I'm pretty much just gonna conclude that, like, we don't. Basically, until somebody is like, gives me, and I'm a very hard person to convince. I know I am stubborn as all get out. It is a character flaw and a positive trait that I have. I can be stubborn in a good way sometimes, and I can be stubborn in a bad way sometimes. And I feel like it just depends on who you are, on whether or not I'm being just very stubborn and just, like, you know, not being flexible. But I don't, especially when it comes to this question, why do we need the rich? I just, you can't start throwing, like, God at me, and don't you be throwing science at me and go, it's Darwin, no. Okay. First of all, we don't actually live in a Darwinian capitalist society. As much as people would like to think that we live in a truly capitalistic society, in like its most pure form, we don't. Okay, we do not live in a truly capitalistic society. In Darwinian capitalism, that's not the world we live into. If you actually look at what capitalism is, and you read papers and things on it, the system that we live in right now, you know, it sort of specifically in America and, you know, any other country that decides to use capitalism as its social structure model, in order to run the country, or as an economic model, it It's not. Okay. We don't live in a truly Darwinian capitalistic society, as much as we would like to think we do. We just don't. And that's pretty much true for any sort of economic, social, governing ideology that is made around the world. One of the things that I appreciate about Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto is within, obviously, it very much depends on which edition of the Communist Manifesto you get, of Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto that you get. But it's like within the, at least the edition that I have, it's like within the first three pages that he says, you know, this system, basically it's something to the effect of like, this system is a great idea on paper, but human nature will not allow this system to work in the real world. Basically saying like, it's an awesome idea when you write it down, like it sounds really great. However, because of who human beings are, and who and what the species of humanity is, it won't, who we are as individuals and as a collective group of animal as a species, we will not, we can't. It's, we are inherently flawed. Which means anything that we put, anything that we take from paper and try to make it work in the real world is not going, it's not going to look like what it looks like on paper because we are inherently flawed. And that means that the system that we create will be inherently flawed. Any system, it doesn't matter if it's capitalism, communism, socialism, anarchism, I mean, just pick a system, it doesn't matter. It will be inherently flawed because we as a species are inherently flawed. And so it won't be, those systems will not be, they can't exist in the world that we currently live in. Like at this moment in time in history, we can't, it won't happen. We can't do it because we are imperfect. I get some hope from that, though, because that means that we have something to look forward, something that we can work toward. And as a collective group, as a species, we can move forward and look at and try to decide how we want to do this. It gives us room to move and malleability, which I find because I like it when things are fluid and when things, when I have room to move and like kind of explore and like, think about things and, you know, talk to people. That's why I do the podcast is because I like to have that room to explore and like think, it makes me happy. But yeah, so like, that's just sort of, I don't know. That's just sort of how I feel about it. So I'm going on a quest. I'm going on a quest to figure out why we need the rich. Yeah. I want to know. I want to know what, you know, and we're going to get some bullshitty answers. It's true. We're going to get some answers that we don't like. We're going to get some answers that make us think, which is good. I like that. I like it when I like start to learn and like think about things in a new, like weird way or whatever. But my hypothesis is essentially, we don't. It's bullshit. We don't. That's the dirty little secret, is that we don't actually need those people. We don't actually need them. We've just all collectively convinced ourselves that they are a necessary evil sort of a thing. When the truth of the matter is, we don't actually need them. It's not a thing. That needs, we don't, if they all left tomorrow, if they all like got on a spaceship and bailed and went to like the moon or Mars or whatever they're planning to go or whatever it is they're planning to do when all this shit like hits the fan and, you know, we're fucked kind of a thing occurs, there's part of me that's like, good, get the fuck out. there is a big part of me sometimes where I'm just like, man, if that's your plan, could you just go already? Like, get into your stupid space cruise, go to Mars, wherever it is you're going, you know, and be gone. Just get out. Take your bullshit with you. And by the way, you're uninvited to come back. Like, just get out. We don't want you here. Get out, get out, get out, get out, get out, go away. If that's your plan, if that's your whole, if that's your end game, if your end game is like, well, fuck all these people because we're just, we're going on a space cruise and we'll never have to come back. Good, get out, go, goodbye. Okay, bye. Leave. Can you go now? Like, we could have had you leave. If that's your plan, please tell us so we can, you know, speed this up so that you can get out now. Like, just leave. Go, go. No, no, no. And we're going to have a magnificent garden party and you're not invited. So get the fuck out and leave us be to do what we're going to do and, like, have, you know, figure this out. Okay. Without you and all your pain and hurt that you are causing. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon though. So it's a bit of a bummer. But that's just sort of how I feel about it. If that's your plan, get out. Goodbye. But anyway. Yeah, so we're going on a quest. Yes, it's a quest because I'm a nerd and I like the word quest. It makes me happy. It makes me feel like I am, you know, going on an adventure kind of a thing. And it makes me happy. So I'm calling it a quest. If you don't want to call it a quest, then you don't have to call it a quest. I'm calling it a quest. So we're going on a quest to figure out why we need the rich. That's the lesson I took from Snowpiercer, from the film and the television show, is this would just be a lot easier if we had two trains. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I hope you like this episode. I tried. Hope you learned something. Maybe I made you think a little bit. I don't know. Go watch it. Just go watch it and, like, come back and tell me what you think. Get your shout outs in. Don't forget to do that. What's Up Weirdo Wednesdays, shout outs, personal shout outs. You can send to manicpixieweirdo@protonmail.com for personal shout outs. If there's anything you'd like me, if there's anything you'd like me to read, like, on, during that shout out, just let me know. Or if there's anything that you say in the email that you don't want me to say, just let me know at the bottom or whatever. But yeah, get your personal shout outs in through manicpixieweirdo@protonmail.com. Questions, topics, if you have anything you want me to discuss, you want to listen to, any of those things, get those in. I am taking requests kind of a thing. DMs are always welcome. The most that I will interact with you is mostly on Twitter. So that is @MPWeirdoPodcast. But you can still reach out through Instagram, which is the_main_weirdo1. So go ahead and follow us, like us on Instagrams, and the Patreons. I'm an idiot. No, not that. Pinterests. The Pinterest is the_main_weirdo21. Get those in. You can interact with me on there. I'm mostly on Twitter though, so that's, like, your best bet. Or the email. Both of those, I check them most often. So those would be your best bets. Yeah. So thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you're excited to hear the interview next week with Ken from Everybody Loves Pudding. So I had a great time. And as always, guys, be kind and stay weird. Love y'all. Bye.